Well, this morning, it is really a privilege to be here. It's a real blessing just really to be home. I mean, in a church I grew up in the church I gave the first sermon I ever preached outside a classroom in. So it's just a real joy and a privilege to be here. And when Bud called me 2 weeks ago, it was just a blessing. And I just felt so natural to say yes, that, yeah, of course I want to preach at the NAS. Of course I want to be where I was a little kid running around causing mischief, you know, putting holes in the sheetrock in the basement. And so it is a real homecoming in a sense of this is a church I grew up in and it's a church I love dearly. And so it's great to be here this morning. This morning we're going to look at Isaiah 50. This is just the passage that instantly came to my mind when Bud told me I was working at my parents' house cutting up this big pine tree, and Bud called me on the phone, and this immediately, just because I'd been studying it, I'd been looking at it, and it was just something that was passionate on my heart, and so I just knew right away that this is what I was going to preach on this morning. And so if you want to turn there, Isaiah 50, this is a passage in Isaiah, a servant song, a song of the servant. We're used to Isaiah, the suffering servant. We're used to this song. There's quite a few of these in Isaiah. There's quite a few of these that talk about the servant of the Lord and what the servant of the Lord does, who the servant of the Lord is, what he represents to us. And here we see the servant being obedient, really contrasted with Israel's massive disobedience at this time, with Israel's massive struggle and rebellion and difficulties at this time. And I'm sure many of us are aware at this time in Israel's history, it's a pretty dark point. Things are not going well. Assyria has swept through and destroyed much of the nation. They've come against Judah. They've besieged Jerusalem. But the Lord has maintained them. He's kept this stronghold, this remnant alive. And yet still in Isaiah, we see who comes next. Babylon comes. And so Israel is pressed, they're in a real sense destroyed from within by their own sin, by their own rebellion. And in Isaiah we see this, in Isaiah we see what some call the fifth gospel. Isaiah is sometimes referred to as the fifth gospel, and why? Why is it referred to as the fifth gospel? Because in the midst of all this sin, in the midst of all this failure, who shows up? God shows up. The servant shows up. This beacon of hope, of justice, of mercy, of restoration comes. And there's this promise that the Lord will redeem, the Lord will remember those who trust in him. Even in the darkest hour, those who trust in the Lord, his hand is on them. His redemption for them is sure. His promise for them is true. And so let's read this morning. I'm going to mainly be looking at verse 4 through 9. Verse 4 through 9. The Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turn not backwards. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like garment. The moth will eat them up. In this passage, we see the servant come to Israel. Just before this passage, we see Israel's rebellion. We see Israel compared to a divorced wife. Israel compared to someone who's been cast away, someone who's been written a certificate of divorce, this really harsh language of being gone from me. Why? Because you didn't hear. Why? Because you didn't listen. Why? Because you didn't do the things that God asked you and called you and expected you to do. And yet here we see this cutting to this servant. We see immediately this servant who is obedient, this servant who in a real sense is all that Israel could be, this perfect representation of Israel, this perfect person. And today I want to look at this person. I want to look at the servant here in Isaiah 50, and I want to look and see, what does this mean to us? How can we apply this to our hearts? How can we be like the servant? How can we be obedient servants? How can we follow in the footsteps of him who is perfect? We want this good news to penetrate our lives. We want to walk as Christ walked. And so this morning, let's pray, and then we're just going to jump into a few points. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time. We thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the servant of the Lord. Lord, we thank you that we who are here today know the fullness of the servant. Lord, we know this expectation come fully to us in the form of Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we who sit here have access to the throne of God through his blood, through his mercy, through his grace. And Lord, we just pray that as we get into this passage, as we look at these verses in Isaiah 50, you would speak to us, Lord. You would help us to be obedient servants who strive after you. And Lord, we trust that you will do this in us. In Christ's name, amen. So right here in Isaiah 50, if you were listening as I read this, or if you look in your own Bible, you see four times the Lord God gives or does something. The Lord God, or if you're in the NIV, it might say the Sovereign Lord, or the Lord Jehovah, or you could even translate this, the God God, which would be a strange way to translate it. But the Lord God has given me a tongue. The Lord God has opened my ears. The Lord God helped me. The Lord God helped me. You see, twice he helps me. The Lord God is doing something. He's active in the life of his servant. He's doing something, and he can do this with us. He can do this with us if we respond in obedience, if we walk with him in obedience, if we emulate the servant. And so the first idea is, as an obedient servant, partake of the good gifts of God. We want to partake of the good gifts of God. As an obedient servant, partake of the good gifts of God for your betterment. For your betterment, you want to be like the servant. And we're going to go through this and just look at this with these different ideas that for our betterment, we want to be like the servant. We want to have the tongue of those who are taught. It's a beautiful thing here that the servant is given the tongue of those who are taught, or the tongue of those who are being taught by God. Similar to Moses, the Lord comes to Moses and says, "You're the man. You're the man I want to do this." And Moses says, "I can't speak. I can't do this. No one's going to believe me." And what does God say? He says, "I want you." And he gives him what he needs. He provides for him what he needs. And here, the servant is given the tongue of those who are taught. This idea of that these people are disciples of the Lord. They're being trained. This word taught is even translated disciples just a few chapters before. That we are given a tongue of those who are taught. We're given speech by the Lord that is effective, that has power, that can care for others, that can shepherd others, that makes us a better person. And it's not through our ability, it's not through our own study. It's a gift of the Lord by the Holy Spirit, that he gives us something we did not possess. When you got saved by the Lord, he gave you something you didn't have. And you didn't earn it. It was given to you as a gift. So we're given a tongue of those who are taught. Our ears are awake. Each morning our ears are awake. This beautiful image of fellowship with the Lord, that as servants of the Lord, morning by morning, the Lord awakens our ears to hear him. This fellowship, he awakens us to hear from God. And that this morning by morning awaking, this isn't a special provision solely for the servant. This is the standard circumstance of those who are disciples of Christ, that daily we are filled with the Lord. Daily we are imparted with the things of God. Daily we're moved by the things of God because we're obedient. We want to hear the things of God. I remember even as a teenager, sitting in this church, pretty zoned out, to be honest. just being honest there. And I was just sitting there, sitting around, not doing too much. And before the service started, I remember, I think it was Scott Fulton got up, and he just wanted to share something. And Brother Scott got up, and he just stood over here. He didn't even get up on the platform. I remember he stood over here, and he just held the mic, and he just said in this very simple way, as believers, we really need to be in the Word every morning. Just this really simple message of, if you believe in Christ Jesus, it should be your joy to get in the Word every morning, to get in the Word every day. And I remember sitting there, just this kind of complacent teenager, and I'm like, I think he's right. I think he's on to something here. This seems kind of standard behavior for a Christian. And I was so convicted by just this super simple 2-minute sharing, and I'm like, something's wrong in me. It was a real wake-up moment for me in just such a simple word. And here in Isaiah, we see morning by morning, he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. That as a believer, like the servant, walking in obedience with God, you have the privilege to have the Lord awaken your ears every day afresh to his presence, his power, his ability to impact your life. How awesome and amazing is that? That's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful image. Particularly in the midst of such failure you see in Israel, in the midst of such horrible wretchedness, the Lord is merciful and he gives us a fresh day, a fresh start, new ears. With the Lord, the slate can always be wiped clean because forgiveness is available. So for our betterment, we want to be obedient servants of the Lord. As obedient servants, we want to partake of the good gifts of God for our betterment. We want tongues that are taught. We want awakened ears. We want to be people who are not in rebellion. We want to be people who have not turned backward. We don't want to be like Israel, who the prophets came to and they said, repent. They came to them and told them what to do time and time again. And what did the people do? They turned backwards. They turned away. They said, these people, this isn't what we want. We don't want to be like that. We want to be those who are not rebellious, like in verse 5, who do not turn backwards. We want to be those people who, like the servant, can take abuse, we can take striking and mocking, we can have our beards pulled out, we can let our face face shame, face disgrace, face spitting, because we are firm, we are secure in the Lord. We want to embrace these gifts for our betterment because the Lord helps us. Because he helps us, because he is the one who's doing this. He's the one who enables us to have our face set like flint. He's the one who vindicates us. He's the one who is near. He's the one who declares us guilty or guiltless. So as obedient servants, partake of the good gifts of God for your betterment. For your betterment. For our betterment. The second point here is obedient servants, partake of the good gifts of God because others are weary. As obedient servants partake of the good gifts of God because others are weary. And for me, this is almost the main point, at least when I read this, that just really strikes me personally. The Lord God has given me a tongue of those who are taught that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. And who here has ever been weary? Everybody, I would assume, at some point. And who came to you with a word or even... extrapolate this poetry, who came to you with a word and open ears to alleviate that weariness? As the church, man, do we want to be people like that? We want to be people who can sustain each other, who can build each other up with words and with ears. And there are so many people in this church who are here today, who have gone on to be with the Lord, who are other places, who sustained me in dark times. I remember Guard Meserve. This was a big one for me. Guard Meserve, some of you may not know him. He just died just recently, and it was really hard for me. I'd been talking with him on the phone, leaving each other voicemails, and kind of reconnecting, and then he just suddenly passed away. And just thinking about that, preparing for this, in some of my darkest moments of life, God sustained me with a word. He sustained me with ears that were open. When I was utterly broken, he was there. He became this Christian figure who was a pillar to hold me up when everything around me was shattering, when everything around me was shaking and crumbling. And here in Isaiah 50, the call for you is, who can we sustain with our words? Who does the Lord want to place on your heart? Even today, Lord, who can I sustain with these words? Who can I sustain with open ears? Who do you want me to do this with? The end of Jude, it says, be merciful to those who doubt. It says, save others by snatching them from the fire. It says, show mercy, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. We want to sustain people. We want to be people who snatch each other out of the fire. Man, if I'm going into the fire as a Christian, if I'm walking astray, if sin is all over me, I want a brother or sister in Christ to come and snatch me out of that fire. We want people to sustain us in our weariness. I think sometimes, even in the church, we let culture kind of get into our hearts and our minds, and we have this rugged American individualistic mindset where I'm going to do it myself, I'm going to do it my own, I'm just going to walk off into the wilderness and build a hut and I'll be good by myself. That may be like some weird great American value, but it is not a biblical value in any way, because the Bible is completely communal, it's completely collective. That we're not meant to run this journey alone. We're meant to do this together. We need each other's words to sustain one another. We need each other's ears to hear and move each other forward in the faith. Martin Luther even says this, talking about the church. He says, no man should be alone when he opposes Satan. The church, in its ministry of the word, and it is instituted for this purpose, that hands may be joined together with one another to help one another. That we need each other to hold one another up. We need this. We need to be people who sustain one another. And so I'm just going to pause even here right in the middle of this, and I'm just going to pray that the Lord would place somebody on our mind and heart that we could sustain with our words. Who does the Lord want you to sustain with your words? Who's weary in your life? Who even in this church body is weary that you can just say, Lord, I need to write them a note. I need to call them. I need to take them to coffee. I need to have my ears open to listen. So let's just take a moment and pray. Dear Lord, you give us gifts. You give us tongues as those who are taught. You give us ears as those who are taught. And Lord, you give us these so we may sustain one another. You give us these so we may be successful, obedient servants. And Lord, I pray right now you would just place someone, a few people on our hearts, on our minds, Lord. People we know, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we know who are weary. Lord, that you would just place those people on our minds right now that, Lord, I need to get a hold of this person. Lord, I need to build this person up. Lord, I need to lift this brother or sister up. Lord, I need to be there to listen and to speak. And Lord, we just ask that you would place those people, convict us, and Lord, give us the wisdom, give us the boldness to move forward as servants of you for your glory. Amen. Amen. So as an obedient servant, we want to partake of the good gifts of God for our betterment. We want to partake of the good gifts of God because others are weary, and we want to partake of the good gifts of God for the glory of God. God is always glorified in obedience, is he not? And who is the ultimate example of obedience? The servant of the Lord, the servant of the Lord who we see fully in Christ, the servant who suffers and dies and takes our place, the servant who does everything Israel could not do, the servant who walks the path that we could not walk. We want to glorify the Lord with our lives. And one way we do this is by running after the example of the servant. We run after him in obedience and we run after him in emulation. We don't settle for complacency. We long for expectancy. We build expectancy in our mind. I think a lot of times as Christians, as believers, it can be sometimes easy to almost fall into a mindset of, Lord, help me survive. We can kind of fall into this mindset of, Lord, help me survive the day. Help me survive the week. But I think here in Isaiah, in other places in the Word, really what we want to have is this expectancy, like, Lord, help me to be expectant of what you're going to do. Help me be expectant. Help me to have my eyes open of what's going on around me. We don't want to settle for complacency. We want to have expectancy in us. We want to be people who are looking for where the Lord wants us to move, who he wants us to reach out to, who he wants us to witness to, who can I pray for, what can I be involved in, how can I be expectant, knowing that the Lord is active, he's moving, the Holy Spirit is ever present, and we, like the servant of the Lord, get to live in this life moving around, and the Lord is at work, and we can be expectant of this work. And that's a true privilege. It's a true privilege. For the glory of God, we get to be part of this. We get to be part of this. We get to, as Spurgeon, when he was preaching the same section, he said in closing, he said, when something is right, stand for it. When you have the right purpose that glorifies God, carry it out. That we who are believers, we who are walking in the path of the servant, can glorify God while we do this in expectancy, knowing that the Lord is moving. So in this passage of Scripture, I really hope we can take this away and really apply it. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Lord, show me who is weary. Help me to go out and seek them. Morning by morning, he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not in rebellion. I turned not backwards. That every day your ears should be open. Your ears have the privilege of being open by the Holy Spirit to the Word of God. And that because our tongues are able, because our ears are open, we can walk in the path of righteousness. We don't have to turn backwards in rebellion. That in all of this, we can take the punishment, the striking, the ridicule, the suffering of the servant. And this is maybe the last point here, not even maybe one of the major points, is that when we do this, when we live as the servant, when we strive to live like the servant, to glorify the Lord, we can take disgrace and shame from this world, and it doesn't affect us. It doesn't affect us like it should. We can be people who, like here, like the servant who says, who is he who vindicates me? He is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Do you hear that kind of almost righteous pride in the Lord in that? The servant is, okay, you're ridiculed. Come up, stand next to me. You stand here, I'll stand here, and the Lord is over both of us, and we'll see who the Lord says comes out on top. Even if it doesn't look like that in the physical realm, even if it doesn't look like that in the temporal here and now, my mind is set on eternity, and I know I'm right with the Lord. I know I'm walking right with the Lord. And as he closes this, he says, behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like garments. The moth will eat them up. Here again, it's this human versus eternal mindset, this idea of the world may declare me guilty, people may come against me and declare me guilty, they may slander me, they may attack me, they may come against me, coworkers, family, friends, people I love, but yet in the end, who is the only one who can declare you guilty or declare you righteous? The Lord. And so, well, we can be so consumed with the thoughts and the hearts of others towards us, what they think about us. Here, the servant rids himself of all of this. He casts this aside and he says, who will declare me guilty? And the answer is the Lord. And all these other people, all these other voices that ring in my head, that try to influence my life, all this temporal things that come and go and attack and bite and consume and tangle, they will all wear out like garments. The moth will eat them up. The battles you face, the people that come against you, the attacks that come against you, in the light of eternity, they're nothing. When we read this grand scheme of an Ecclesiastes or other places in the Bible where we're compared to dust, we're compared to vapor, we're compared to moment, we're compared to shadow, what is the ridicule, what is the guilt accusation of another human being when compared to our just and loving God? It means so little when we put these things in perspective. And so we can glorify the Lord as servants by having this heavenly mindset, having this eternal mindset that is way above the everyday things that we face that we can make huge in our lives. They can dominate everything in our lives. But who will truly declare us guilty or righteous? The Lord. As obedient servants, we want to partake of the good gifts of God. We want to partake of the good gifts of God for our betterment so we can be better servants, better Christians, better husbands, better wives. We want to partake of the good gifts of God because other people in the world are weary and they need you. Other people in the world are weary and they need you. You may not feel like you're capable. If you believe in Christ Jesus, if he's your Savior, you're capable. Your tongue is able, your ears are able. You can bless other people. You can alleviate their weariness. You can raise them up. And lastly, as obedient servants, we want to partake of the good gifts of God for God's glory. Because here, the servant glorifies the Lord while Israel shames him. While Israel runs away into sin and treachery and betrayal, the servant glorifies the Lord. And that is our greatest call, it's our greatest purpose, it's the greatest thing we could ever do here on earth, is to glorify the Lord with our lives. As obedient servants, partake of the good gifts of God for your betterment, because other people are weary, and for God's glory. I just want to close with this hymn. I think it started as a poem. And it was written into a hymn that I've never heard sung in a church. Maybe some people here have. And it settles on this idea of trust. And that would be my closing thought on all of this, that all of this hinges on trusting the Lord. We trust the Lord to do it. We trust the Lord to empower us to help. We trust the Lord that he can make us better. We trust the Lord that we can go and alleviate people's weariness. We trust the Lord that we can live lives that glorify him. This is called Courage, Brother, Do Not Stumble. It's by Norman MacLeod, I believe, and I think it was written in 1857. And this is how it reads. It says, Courage, brother, do not stumble, though thy path be dark as night. There's a star to guide the humble. Trust in God and do the right. Let the road be rough and dreary, and its end far out of sight. Foot it bravely, strong or weary. Trust in God, trust in God, trust in God, and do the right. Perish policies and cunning, perish all that fears the light. Whether losing, whether winning, trust in God and do the right. Trust no party, sect, or faction, trust no leader in the fight. Put in every word or action, trust in God, trust in God, trust in God, and do the right. Some will hate thee, some will love thee, some will flatter, some will slight. Cease from man and look above thee, trust in God and do the right. Simple rule and steadfast guiding, inward peace and inward might. Star upon our path abiding, trust in God, trust in God. Trust in God and do the right. As obedient servants, partake of the good gifts of God for your betterment, because other people are weary, and for God's glory, trust in God and do the right thing.